So, Long Day to the State gave me freedom of the order of service this morning, so things are a bit different. I'm sorry, I've forgotten what your usual pattern is. But I'm going to go straight into God's Word now, then we'll break bread together. And before we go, we are going to spend some time in prayer. So I'm going to read the scripture. So I'm going to read the scripture that we're focusing on this morning as we think about prayer. So this is from James chapter 5, and it starts in verse 13. It starts with what we've just shared with the children. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain, on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Now, I quite like it. I quite like last words when I'm preaching. And we've got the last words of James's letter. James's letter is just full of instructions for God's church and how they should live out the Christian life, how they should live out a life of faith. And his last words are about prayer. But actually, when you look at the start of the book, his first words are about prayer as well. Because he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask of God. And ask in a way that's not doubting, so that you'll receive from God. So right at the start, right at the end of James' letter, we've got this real focus on prayer and faithful prayer. Prayers of faith that will actually do something. Now, to me, it's really enticing and exciting, particularly as over in Tanzania, we're focusing on prayer because we want to see God do a lot. And we want to pray prayers that are going to do things like stop the rain, and start the rain, and bring people into the church, and bring us people who are going to come back to the Lord. We want prayers that are actually going to do something, and that should be enticing. So this is quite an exciting bit of scripture to read, because James says, prayers of faith do stuff. Prayers of faith actually do stuff. So we've got to focus really on what it means to pray faithfully. Because that's what we all want, isn't it? Because we have to have all this wonderful prayer going on. And yet sometimes we compare that to our own prayer life and we're like, ooh, we don't quite measure up. My prayers of faith aren't quite as accurate as that. So we're just going to look, what does it mean to pray faithfully? And I think we just start off by saying, pray faithfully means to pray. Pray. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, remember to give thanks to God, sing praises to Him for that moment of happiness, that thing that brings you happiness and joy in your life. If you're sick, and you're so sick that you can't pray, then get the elders of the church to come and they'll pray prayers of faith over you, which will make you well. And then, if you've got some sin in your life, then find somebody you can confess that sin to, and then pray for each other. And even if you go back to the start of the book, pray prayers of wisdom. In other words, to pray faithfully means to pray, and for prayer to become a habit, and to become easy to do, and to become the first thing that you do when you're in trouble, and when you're struggling think my notes are really close. Prayer is about your relationship. When we write Psalm 32, start off with that forgiveness, and then it ends with your people can pray to you and rejoicing in Him and praying as well. And it should almost become automatic. So this week, John and I were texting and emailing each other, and I was busy and didn't reply to an email. And that meant that, you know, I ended up getting to do what I like this morning, which is nice, because I sent the email yesterday morning. But you know what it's like, don't you, when you know you've got to speak to someone, and there's something you need to do, and it's bugging you, so that you'll get up early in the morning on your day off and make sure you send that email. Or it's even worse than WhatsApp, isn't it? Because someone sends you a message, and on your phone you know that they can see a blue tick that means you've seen it, and you haven't replied. But for me, it bugs me until I reply. Oh, thumbs up, right, good, I can forget about that. That's what it should be like for us in prayer. We've got a moment of trouble, it should bug us until we pray and bring it to God. If we're happy, we should be going, I need to tell God about how grateful I am for that thing that made me happy. If someone else is in trouble and they've asked you to pray, it should be that I'm not going to settle, I can't stop, I can't rest until I just say that to God. And Jesus makes it easy for us, doesn't he? Because he says, wherever we're gathered together, or basically wherever we are, he's with us. He's in the room. He's here now. And it's as easy as just talking to him and saying thank you. As simple as those children downstairs drawing a little picture that just says, I'm grateful for this. Thank you. And I know what it's like for me sometimes, I know that what you're thinking, sometimes it just doesn't feel like you've got that connection with God. And it feels like your prayers just aren't getting through. And I know it's quite often it feels like that. Well, that's where you just kind of do it. You just say thanks. But at the same time, what do we do about that fact of when I pray, do I really feel it? Well, that's where I encourage people to spend some more time in prayer. Where our 30 days of prayer, we set up a prayer space, encouraging people to come and pray and set aside a whole hour for it. Just you in this space with some things that will prompt you to pray, taking the time to pray. And I know when I spend an hour in there, quite often my mind is on all the other things, like the emails I haven't answered, and other things like that. But if I give it enough time and rest in God's presence enough, by the end of that time, I feel like he's reached out to me. Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean that he doesn't hear your prayers. So that's the first thing to say, pray. And I can say all sorts of practical things to you. What could prompt your prayers? What could be your emotions? You're feeling happy, pray. You're feeling sad, pray. You're feeling ambiguous, still pray. Use your emotions to prompt you to pray, like Jesus says here. Or your circumstances. You're in trouble, pray. Or you're about to do something important, pray. You're about to go on a journey, and driving a car is one of the most dangerous things we do. Pray. Pray for safety. Pray for God to be with you. Just take that time to pray. Or we can set aside times. So every, you know, three times a day, morning, noon, and evening. Works well for some people to stop and pray at those times. Or you can use lists. Or even apps on your phone. Ever downloaded a prayer app? It's great. It's really handy because you don't have to remember anything. And you don't have to keep paper lists. And then it'll just pop up with the things that you've inputted into it every day. And also reminds you to pray. Use what we've got to just make prayer a habit. And part of our conversation. And part of what we do. Because Christ is with us. And he's given us this way of just speaking to him. Praying to them. So, faithful prayer. Praying in faith is simply praying. And that's a really obvious thing to say, isn't it? But we struggle. Second thing to say is this idea of a prayer of faith, and where our faith comes into prayer. And this one's a bit trickier, isn't it? Because I think we can, it can almost be a little bit like Star Wars, okay? So remember Luke Skywalker. If you haven't watched Star Wars, this won't make any sense, if you can imagine. Remember Luke Skywalker, the Millennium Falcon, when he's just met Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's learning to get in touch with the Force, and he's straining, and it's hard, and it's difficult, or him training with Yoda on the swamp planet, and he's struggling, and he's straining, and he's trying really hard to pray, to use the Force well. And then there's Yoda there, where it's effortless for him, because he's got the certainty in his faith. Is that what prayer is? Is that what James is telling us? That basically, and there's some people who practice and their prayers have effect because there's power going out from them, because they're able to use it, like Luke Skywalker uses the Force. We've got to be careful not to get into that sort of thing. That it's our prayers that cause things to happen. James is very, very clear here. He says, if anyone among you sick, let him call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. By the way, we're not going to be talking about healing this morning. This passage is not about healing, it's about prayer. So if you've got any questions about the healing bits in it, then talk to Deb at next week. But you can talk to me as well. But I want to focus on your prayer. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. And that kind of sounds like it's the prayer that's making the person well. But then James is like, straight away, the Lord will raise them up. And that's the point, isn't it? When we pray, we're praying to a God who can move the mountain, who can make the sick person well, who can do those miracles that we just possibly can't. Because as James points out, we're just human. But he says, if you pray in faith, God will do these things through your prayers. So how does our faith relate to prayer? And I think we have to look a little bit elsewhere in Scripture where people talk to God, and specifically when they talk to Jesus. So cast your minds back to when there are four friends. We've got a friend who's paralyzed. And they believe, they have faith that Jesus can heal their friend. And their faith is so strong that they carry their friend to him, and then when they can't get indoors, they rip the roof off the building to lower them down to Jesus. And it says in the scripture that Jesus saw their faith, and then he healed their friend. An extraordinary story in scripture. Now, it gets even odder sometimes as well. Is that a Canaanite woman who comes to Jesus because her daughter is ill. Says she's oppressed by a demon. And she says, Jesus, heal my daughter. And Jesus refuses to heal her daughter. Or at least that's what it looks like. And he basically says, look, I'm here for the people of Israel. I'm not here for the Canaanites. I'm not here for the people who are outside the house of Israel. And at first he doesn't heal. And we're like, why is this story in Scripture? And then she says something really odd. She says, but even the dogs will eat the crumbs from the table. And she basically says, look, Jesus, I know I don't belong to the tribe of Israel, but I'll take whatever you can give me. And what does Jesus say about her? He says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. So in that moment, we've got a moment where someone is coming to Jesus, essentially talking to Jesus, praying, and saying, please heal my daughter. And Jesus appears to dismiss it and say, I'm not here for you, I'm here for them. And then she admits an appeal of faith. Says, even if you just give me the scraps, that'll be enough. And Jesus is moved by her faith. Or what about the lady who's bleeding? And she comes and she touches Jesus' cloak, and she's healed. What does Jesus say to her after that? He said, He said, your faith has made you well. So while we're not Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, it's not by the power of learning to manipulate God's power. Our faith impacts the effectiveness of our prayers. Now, what is that faith? Well, I think the stories of Jesus show us what it is. That when we have faith in God, when we pray, we have that confidence that he will hear our prayers, confidence that he can move. Our faith moves God. Our faith moves Jesus. And just as Jesus was confronted with people's faith, and it moved him to act, if we pray with faith, we will move God, and he will change things, and he will bring about healing. Now that puts a lot of pressure on us, doesn't it? How do you have faith? Oh, I have faith, I believe. How do you have faith? Well, we need to answer that, don't we? Because it puts that pressure on us. I think to start, just remember who you're praying to. You're praying to the Almighty God. He made the heavens and the earth. He loves you enough to send his Son. He is moved by your faith. It means he cares about you. I'm praying with that confidence in who God is. And then just gather tales of answered prayer, where people have prayed in faith and they've been delivered, and God has changed circumstances and he has brought things to happen. And then take notice of your own answered prayer. You're not testing God when you're looking for answered prayer. You're having confidence in him that he'll answer. Start off with small things. Be specific. I had an experience when I was just 20 years old, which just stuck with me. And so I'll tell you a little story. I was living in Aberdeen, studying in Bangor, and I just passed my driving test, and I got a car, and within 2 weeks of getting that car, I was in a huge car crash. Not my fault, I'll hasten to add. Me and my future wife were quite badly injured, and we had to be cut out of the car, so it was a big deal. But then as we sort of healed in that, I still had the car insurance, but I didn't have a car, and I was living in Aberdeen Grey, and I was living outside the city, and I had a little bit of money in my bank account, and I was like, I don't actually know what to do, because I don't have very much money, I've still got the insurance. Should I buy another car? And it was one of those things where I could buy another car and it could turn out to be a total lemon and just be a disaster, or I could get one and it would be fine. And in the end, I just prayed, and it wasn't a prayer of faith, really. It was more a prayer of, I don't want to think about this anymore, so God, just you take it. And I prayed, Lord, if I'm going to get a car, it's going to have to cost £200 or less, because that's all I can spare. And I need to know it's going to be reliable, so it needs to have at least 6 months tax and 6 months MOT. That's back in the day when you could transfer the tax. And Lord, my insurance will only cover me, I've only just passed my test, so it'll only work up to about a litre, so it needs to be under a litre, Lord. The engine size. And Lord, I'm not really looking for it. So if you bring a car to me, I'll know that it's you and I'll buy it. And I literally thought, right, I don't have to think about that anymore. And I didn't tell anyone or speak about it or anything. The next morning, one of my housemates came to me and said, Mark, you thinking about buying another car? I was like, well, not really, but what? Well, I've got a friend who's got this car in London, and he wants to recruit for it. So 6 months tax and MOT. It's 854cc, and I can have it to by the end of the week. And I was just absolutely blown away. And I kind of wish I'd asked something a bit better, but but that's how God does it sometimes. When you're younger in your faith, be specific in your prayers and collect those stories and say, because when your faith starts to waver, my faith faith does we? And when I think I'm actually, when I was preparing for this sermon, I thought, well, I've got to tell that story if we're talking about prayer. I thought, why can't I pray with faith after I experience that? Why do I so often not pray? Why do I so often doubt that God will hear my prayers? Why do I so often doubt that God will answer my prayers? Why do I so often just not pray and just carry on doing the things that need to be done? And it's actually a little bit of a dark moment. It's like I haven't followed up on what God showed me. Well, there's another story of when someone was in that position a little bit, and it's Jesus again. And there's a man comes to him once again with a son who's seriously ill, demon possessed. This demon is throwing his son into the fire and all sorts of things. And he comes to Jesus and says, look, Lord, if you can, please save him. And he shouldn't use those words, should he? Because that's the words that we pray with sometimes, isn't it? God, if you can do it, you know. And what does Jesus say? He says, if you can, exclamation mark, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Now that sounds like a cat poster, doesn't it? I think it literally is a cat poster. All things are possible for one who believes. Those are the words of Jesus. How does the father respond? Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. That's our response, isn't it? When we realise that we're going to God and we say, God, if you can, if you're listening, if you're there, and we realise that we're double-minded, then we need to pray that prayer. I believe, help my unbelief. We don't have to try, we don't have to necessarily feel it. We just have to say, God, my faith isn't good enough now, but I believe in you. Help me to have that faith. So the prayer of faith is effective, powerful, effective, able to heal, because God will raise the person up, help them when I find belief. There's one last thing to say about the prayer of faith. It's important because it is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith and a prayer of trust. And part of that trust is being able to receive the answer. Because sometimes when God answers prayer, you're not going to get relief from your trouble. You're going to get the endurance to weather that trouble. Sometimes when you pray, you're not going to be healed. But the answer might be that you're going to be glorified through this illness that you'll go through. You're going to be glorified as you go into glory in death. And sometimes God doesn't change our circumstances, but he gives us freedom from the things that are binding us in those circumstances so we can rejoice in them. So the prayer of faith is a prayer of faith. It is a prayer of belief that God's listening and he will answer. But it's also about trust in him. Single-minded trust that whatever he answers, I can accept and I can receive. Very lastly, and we're going to put this into practice after we do our communion. The final thing is it's a team activity. The prayer of faith is a team activity. Starts off with, is anyone among you in trouble? So there you go, there's a group of people. One's in trouble, let them pray. Then anyone happy, let them sing songs of praise. Then it also goes, if you're ill, get the elders. Why the elders? Because presumably they are the ones who are at least qualified to say, yeah, we should be righteous at least because we're the leaders of the church. So you want someone praying over you who's got that. But then afterwards, it makes it clear that it's not just the elders who can and should pray. It says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. It's a group and a team activity. And I don't know if you've ever been able to, because you might be so sick you can't pray. And you need to ask others to pray for you. But sometimes you're just too depressed to pray. Too tired to pray. Or you feel like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. There's nothing wrong with just going to someone else and saying, look, pray for me or pray with me. It's a team activity. Do it as a group. Find people you trust to pray with and pray for you. or and pray together as a church. And as a church, that's the challenge, isn't it? So when are the times we pray together as a church? I'm asking, I don't know the answers to these, by the way. What are the circumstances when you come together and pray? When someone's in trouble, do you gather around them and pray for them? And who do you confess your sins to? I'm not suggesting you confess your sins to the whole church. But James is saying it's good to share those burdens with someone and pray together. And if that is lacking, if you think, you know what, as a church, we could step up in this in prayer, then don't put it off. Especially if it's Christmas time. Don't move it from the leave it at the bottom of the priority list after the Christmas programme and the musicians and the mince pies and the children's programme and making sure all the bills are paid. It's on the news sheet and the canvas in the neighbourhood. No, at least it goes to the top of the list, doesn't it? Because whatever we do, we'll be blessed by God when we pray in faith. And like I say, I have no idea what the answer is and what the prayer life of the church is. But I encourage you to examine it and think, well, do we pray these prayers of faith? And are we faithful as we pray? Because prayer is a relationship. Jesus is in the room. And when we speak, he hears us. And when we speak to him, he responds to our faith. And he will be moved. And he will move his finger as we pray to him. Now we're going to pray now, once again in song, because we're coming to do our communion in a moment. And scripture makes it very clear that when we come and do communion, we must prepare our hearts. Now, you notice that James says it's prayer of a righteous person, which is powerful and effective. And what does he mean by a righteous person? Well, he means someone whose sins are forgiven, whose heart is purified. Because God will forgive our sins. So that's what we're going to pray now. We're going to pray, purify my heart. And in your heart, in your mind, if there's anything you need to confess, then do it during this prayer, this song. Purify my heart as we come to the table.